Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel media and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English and numerous other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Thousands are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. We invite you to join them so you can be blessed too. Last week on Hope for Today, we were studying from Daniel chapter 4. The title of our study was The Most High Rules. Chapter 4 records the second dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. It was a dream about a great tree. In our previous study, I said there were several events that led King Nebuchadnezzar to acknowledge that the Most High rules. The first event was a tranquil kingdom. As we begin this chapter, Nebuchadnezzar is feeling secure and prosperous. His military campaigns are over, and he has brought peace to his extensive kingdom. From his perspective, it's time for a well-deserved rest and some time to enjoy his accomplishments. But then his thoughts of peace and security are suddenly interrupted by the next event in this chapter. He has a strange dream. Now, I hope you can stay with me as we look at that next event. To begin our study, I will read Daniel chapter 4 and verses 1 to 18. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, and how mighty his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts of my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and its interpretation. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Chop down a tree and cut off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts get out from under it, and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation. But you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. The second event, then, that led Nebuchadnezzar to confess the Most High God rules was a terrifying dream. This is Nebuchadnezzar's second dream that's recorded for us in the book of Daniel. In the first dream, back in chapter 2, he couldn't even remember what the dream was, and he wanted his wise men and his counselors to tell him the dream and the interpretation. That dream led him to the conclusion that Daniel's God was a God of gods and a revealer of secrets. This time, he remembers the dream, and he's terrified. The original language is much stronger than our translation, "made me afraid." So imagine the king awaking, trembling from the dream, and then lying there on his bed, thinking about what he had experienced. None of my dreams have been like King Nebuchadnezzar's, but some have seemed so real that it has taken me quite a while afterward to calm down. Why was this dream so terrifying? Well, consider the earlier dream the king had about the unusual image. He was involved in that dream as the head of gold. Part of the interpretation was that the whole image, including the head of gold, would be destroyed and replaced by an everlasting kingdom. The king probably liked the idea of being the head of gold, but he didn't like the prophecy that a stone out of the mountain would destroy the image, would destroy his kingdom. That may be why, in chapter 3, he builds this huge image of himself, or at least of a figure that represents the power and might of his kingdom. He recognizes Daniel's ability to interpret dreams, but he doesn't necessarily like the interpretation. He's still not convinced that Daniel's God is sovereign, even though he acknowledges that Daniel's God is powerful. Nebuchadnezzar shares the specifics of the dream in verses 10 to 17. He sees a tree standing by itself, a tree so strong and that grew so high that it could be seen all over the earth. That was an extraordinary tree. The image of a tree representing a nation or a kingdom should be familiar to readers of Scripture. Jesus spoke of the nation of Israel as a fig tree in Matthew chapter 24. In Ezekiel chapter 31, Pharaoh and the king of Assyria are compared to a cedar of Lebanon. There are other numerous examples of this typology in Near Eastern literature as well. So here is this magnificent, extraordinary tree. The beasts of the field and the fowls of the air found protection in its branches and in the shadow that was cast by those branches. Its leaves were fair, and it produced so much fruit that the whole world was fed by it. But as the king observed the tree, a watcher, a holy one, comes down from the heavens. And this heavenly messenger even refers to himself with this language in verse 17. We would refer to him as being an angel. And the angel cries with a loud voice, literally cries with might, "Cut down the tree and cut off its branches. Shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Tell the beasts under it to go to another place, and tell the birds to fly away to a new home." Now, the record that we have doesn't state that this command is carried out, but it is certainly implied. But notice the special instructions given concerning the stump of this tree. The stump, with its roots, is to be left in the earth. No burning, no digging, no removal. The stump is to be bound or encircled with a band of iron and brass. What does that mean? Certainly that won't prevent the stump from rotting. It could signify the preservation of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. or it could signify the mental illness that would bind the king for 7 seasons or times. And perhaps it signifies both. The stump is to be surrounded by the tender grass of the field and to be wet by the dew from heaven. Here, the King James Version changes from it, the stump, to him, the king. Let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. The Watcher states that the king would be given the heart of a beast instead of a man's heart. The duration of his madness would last until 7 times, or 7 periods of time, pass over him. The period is specific, though we're not sure exactly how long those time periods were. It would seem that years is logical, especially since Daniel uses the same terminology to refer to years later in the book. As he closes the recitation of this terrifying dream, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges that the things he saw are decreed for a specific purpose. He says, God will do these things to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will, and set over it the lowest of men. Now it's up to Daniel to tell the king what the dream means. That leads us to the next event, which is the troubling interpretation. Daniel is introduced earlier in the chapter in verses 8 and 9. Of all King Nebuchadnezzar's wise men, only Daniel has the ability to correctly interpret dreams. Now, why Daniel wasn't summoned first, we can only guess. Perhaps the king realized that the frightening dream didn't portend well for him. Or perhaps, as I suggested earlier, the king still hoped to salvage the reputation of his gods as being more powerful than Jehovah. Some readers may question why Nebuchadnezzar uses Daniel and Belteshazzar in his communique. Well, remember, this report is going to the whole world, while actually just those parts under the king's authority. So, using both names, the Hebrew and the Chaldean, would have clarified across the empire exactly who was being spoken about. The king expresses confidence in Daniel's ability to interpret the dream because the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Most High Rules. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Most High Rules. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3. Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Most High Rules. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Most High Rules. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.